Thank you very much for your continued interest. You know Dr. Lassina Zerbo, who is the director of the International Data Center. I would like to start with a few points and then listen to your questions, and we will address your questions. What happens since we met here in this room? We brought out a new, what we call, data product. This data product is a fine-tuned version of the previous one. You will not see significant changes compared to what we saw previously. Dr. Zerbo will describe to you some of the underlying details. To use one important number from this reviewed event bulletin, we call it reviewed event bulletin, there are altogether 61 stations, globally speaking, which saw this event. The magnitude is defined as 4.5 magnitude. So if you compare it where we were in 2006, there were 22 stations, so it's a very robust increase. We informed our members that we are waiting for the radionuclide noble gas data. We provided additional precision, what is the earliest we can receive. We are speaking about assumptions. So we are speaking about assumptions that as a result of an explosion, and we are waiting for whether there is a release. In case there is a release of radionuclide particulate or noble gas, the earliest time frame within reach they can reach our stations in the region is somewhere in between 1st and 3rd of June. With the processing requirements added, of course, we are speaking about mid next week, when the earliest, based on these assumptions, we might be able to have radionuclide noble gas data. But I don't want to take away all the oxygen from what Dr. Zerbo will present to you. Lassina, please.
Am I going on base of question, or just...
If you would like to make some points.
Okay, I mean, the executive secretary already has mentioned some of the technical facts that we put forward to our member state this morning in terms of the process. What you should know is that, like 2006, for what was announced as a DPRK event, we expedite a bulletin, what is a review event bulletin, to the entry into force timeline, which means after entry into force, the IDC is bound to make the data available, the product available to the member state within 48 hours. In 2006, we did that, although we are in provisional operation, but we wanted to satisfy the expectation of our member state. And then that's what we did. And our review event bulletin for this particular event was for the 25th, for the date of the 25th, was available already yesterday in our system and then distributed to all our member states. And this includes the screening as well, criteria which is done after the review event bulletin, which give us a little bit of assumption where we stand, whether it's an explosion-like feature or whether we classify into earthquake. But as you mentioned, there is no doubt as we stand today, based on the technical fact, that the important component is explosion-like feature. We say explosion-like feature because, as you know, as a secretariat, our role is not to talk about the qualitative, if I can say, the nuclear nature of the event or not. This is up to our member state. We put the technical facts in front of our member state, and we put together the waveform technology, which is a seismic, with regard to what is an explosion like or an earthquake. And we're waiting, as in terms of assumption, for what could emerge and be picked by our radionuclide network. If anything is picked and then can be linked by our member states to what has happened and what was announced, then it's up to them to make their conclusion. I think that's what I could add.
Okay, please.
The record of questions. Please state your name and affiliation.
Yes, I can make one question.
just to reconfirm, so that no data has changed from the South Korea.
Sorry?
No data has, no information has changed from South Korea.
No. What South Korea gave in terms of location, magnitude, the coordinate that we gave, is still standing in our area. I mean, this is confirmed.
There is one improvement, the so-called ellipse of confidence. Ellipse of confidence is important for the future operation, like an on-site inspection. So we managed to reduce the area from around 890 square kilometers back in 2006 to around half of the 1,000 square kilometers within which a future on-site inspection can be triggered. So I think this is an important improvement. So the location precision is below 10 kilometers plus minus as a result of this new REB. And this is a result of the 61 stations, a higher number of stations compared to the previous data program.
So that it's, okay, you're more sure of that this data is compound.
We fine-tune, because what happened, you talk about SCL3. After SCL3, what happened, we have interactive analysis. So you have human intervention as part of our processing pipeline. And indeed, when you have human intervention, you have fine-tuning of what the automatic processing is giving you. And indeed, as the executive secretary mentioned, that as a result of that, the confidence ellipse, the ellipse error that we have, which give us the zone where potentially we could have an on-site inspection, this zone has been reduced as a result of the interactive analysis.
From the one that we saw the last time, the slides that you have shown us, you have shown us the slides.
We can put that on the CV.
The shrinking confidence ellipse. This is the 2006 confidence ellipse. Mm-hmm. This is the first product,
okay.
Second product, mm-hmm. And now this is the this is the. The treaty prescribes that an on-site inspection upon entry into force, after entry into force, can be targeting an area of 1,000 square kilometers, up to 1,000 square kilometers. So it's important that this ellipse is smaller than 1,000 square kilometers. So we are not overspilling with the potential place. And this is, you see, the original 2006 was near 900 square kilometers, and this one is around 500, if I'm not mistaken. We will have to exact the number.
May I just have a question? If I see it now, actually, that the location is now much closer to the 2006 event. Can you see the approximate distance between the 2006 very then, 2009.
You have to be careful here because we are saying 2006 reviewed event bulletin event.
Uh-huh.
So this is how we detected with the reviewed event bulletin. Okay. People will tell me exactly what is the scale of this map. What might be 1 centimeter here is how much might be. Let me come back to that. Okay.
I think if you look at the scale, I think it will be around, if the scale is right, because you see that its slot is 11 kilometers, so let's say 12. So if you project that to the distance between the 2006 REV, it's roughly within 10 to 15, I would say, from looking at the picture like that. But we have to make sure. Jerry, is it a scale?
This is 11 kilometers. 12 kilometers.
Is it 12 kilometers? Right, yeah. So it's much less than.
So, that's right,
yeah. So it's less than 10 kilometers.
It's less than 10 kilometers.
3 kilometers.
3 kilometers.
But again, don't necessarily relate in a linear way to 2006, okay? There is an issue here.
I have another question. There was a statement about the natural possible earthquake being detected. How's that?
Awesome.
Yeah. Is that now being clarified? And also, that if there was a natural earthquake somewhere on the globe, is this final result? Because if there's another quake, then it's sort of counter. That probably reduces or changes at least the calculation of the magnitude. So how was that being considered?
Okay, look, I think one clarification that we should make here, there's no doubt that there is an explosion-like signal in what we detected. But indeed, as we are a bunch of scientists in the house here, people are looking at signals in a broader scope and then see what else we see, and then how do we compare to the range of information that we have with what an explosion-like signal is in terms of typical. So when there's something atypical, and then we have to look into it. What we said, we talk about earthquake-like. We didn't say earthquake. The same way we say explosion-like. Earthquake-like take from a range of any tectonic movement or tectonic energy release that we can see and note on the signal processing or the signal that we is a signature of the event that was announced. So when we talk about earthquake-like, we're not saying that there is an earthquake. We're saying that there is tectonic release which are similar in signature to what a non-explosion-like feature would give you. And that's what we were able to see or to contemplate at this point in time. But what you have to know as well is that our role as the PTS, as the Secretariat, it's only upon request of a member state if they want us to fine-tune our analysis, which we call a special event analysis, that we can go beyond what we give to the member state and then give an explanation with regard to how the signal is and then how it's related and so on. In terms of magnitude, indeed, the magnitude that was given is the magnitude as we stand that people are using. So we have to talk about surface wave magnitude and body wave magnitude, and then these are details that we do in terms of the different signal that we see, are high frequency or low frequency.
But again, the first line of Dr. Zerbo was that the explosion-like signal is very clearly there.
Okay,
very so what, sorry?
Explosion-like signal is very clearly seen by us. Okay, and we explain to our members what are those characteristics. Okay, so
Albert, please.
Albert Otti from EPA, German Space Agency. Could you talk a little bit about potentially what these earthquake-like signals that you also saw could potentially mean? Could it mean that maybe the tunnel or some caves where the test was done collapsed, or you know? Why? What are the potential scenarios why that?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was telling to
Tesco.
Yeah, Tesco that when we say earthquake-like, it's the same as when we say explosion-like. Earthquake-like means anything that has some tectonic release. Tectonic is any movement in the ground or underground that is different from an explosion in terms of signal. And then I was talking about the signature at high frequency and then the signature at low frequency. You talk about tunnel, it's an assumption. You know, if there's a tectonic release, it could be collapse, it could be, you know, anything that is as a tectonic movement underground, which is different from the explosion signal that we see.
Yeah, that was my question. It could have been caused by a collapse that was caused by the...
That's a speculation. We're just saying that we're seeing something which has a feature, a signal close to what we see normally on earthquake or any tectonic release.
The epicenter of the tectonic, the epicenter of the tectonic thing is also the same as the epicenter of the explosion.
It's the same source.
Yes,
that's
same
what
source.
It's.
Okay.
It's
and
same.
What about the time? Is it at the same time?
In terms of timing, I'll give you, I'll put you into prospect in terms of scale. For us, those things are so, when they're from the same source, for us to be able to differentiate between the timing, it means that we have to have stations as close as less than 10 kilometers from the event, which we don't have. So even South Korea doesn't have, if that's the reason where it's coming. So if you don't have stations as close as that, it's difficult for an event of this nature to differentiate between the timing in terms of whether it's millisecond, second, and so on. So as we stand today on the base of our IMS network, it's the same time, it's the same source. That's all.
In terms of timing.
In terms of timing. That's what.
Okay.
In terms of timing.
Julia, did you have another question?
No.
Please. So as I mentioned on the atmospheric transport modeling, We are waiting for the right winds to blow and to see how far the assumptions might turn out to be realistic. What we say is the earliest expected result is the 1st of June from a station in Japan. Then there are additional stations, Russian Federation, other Japanese and Philippine stations. So we have a couple of stations in the vicinity. If we could find that map just to show you a map. Yes. This is reflecting how the dispersion pattern might reach different stations. And as you could see, geographically we have some stations which are quite close, Usuris, but this will not be the station necessarily hit the first in case this release is really captured. Do you have other questions?
Mark?
I know you're not kind of comment on it, whether this would be with a nuclear blast, but still rating the noble gases. But I wasn't here this week, so if I'm not quite up to date. But basically, you found two sets of waves. One resembles an explosion, and ones that resemble an earthquake. Apparently, there are several possibilities. Sort of how this could have come to pass. One, that was a blast itself, an earthquake in part of the country that was most likely to experience it. And the second is that the DPRK may have tried to disguise the blast or is trying to complicate the reading in some way to camouflage the strength of it. So I'm wondering if you could just go into those two scenarios or whether one of the other scenarios is more likely or not.
I hope you hear loud and clear that under both scenarios we see the explosion-like signals clear, and again we quite clearly explained to our members which are those features. As for a speculation from a diplomat on this issue, I wouldn't do that. I wonder how far Dr. Zerbo can address the more speculative part of the question.
First, what I wanted to clarify is when we talk about two set of signals. Okay? We talk about a signal where we have two set of features, whether we are in high frequency or low frequency. So that's important. So because when we say two set of signals, it's like we have one event and then the second event. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about a signal from an event that you all heard about or of, where in going deeply into the analysis of the signal, we see features, whether we are in high frequency or low frequency of the same signal, because we're doing filtering anyway. So it's not that we find two separate signals, it's that we have a signal that we recorded, and then in going in deeply into the signal, whether you are at low or high frequency, and whether the energy release is remaining at low frequency or only at high frequency, we're making a difference between whether we have some earthquake-like signal or explosion-like signal. But where there is no doubt...
High frequency.
Yeah, high frequency.
It kind of overlapped in characteristics.
Yeah. Exactly.
From the same source.
From the same source, yeah. But we're not talking about...
But based on the frequency, visible and clear.
Yeah.
Right. And there was quite a lot of debate, I think, unleashed on Monday by Russia's claim that this blast was a good 20 times... the magnitude of the blast in 2006. I take it that your findings so far indicated that whatever increase there was in the magnitude of this blast was nowhere near 20 times.
Look, we are not expecting and we are not doing this conversion. What you can relate is that in 2006 we measured the magnitude around magnitude 4. And you found in the public press and media what was the estimated yield. This time our measurement is magnitude 4.5. what we are doing for the purposes of the atmospheric transport modeling, we take a certain assumption from a release of a certain amount. And here our assumption is based on a low kiloton range assumption for the purposes of the atmospheric transport modeling. So this is where we are using this assumption.
So, sorry, could you specify a little bit more what you mean low kiloton? Because low kiloton, you mean 4 kilotons is what they said reportedly told China last time. Is it more like 2, 2.5?
Look, as existing circuits, we don't do the conversion in terms of yield. That's not our responsibility.
I know, but your assumption.
But you talk about assumption. I mean, when I say assumption, anyone, I can give you an assumption, and then someone else in my office can give you a different assumption.
Mr. Tuch just said you made an assumption, so I'm asking.
Yeah, we say, I mean, we...
It's a low one-digit kiloton, okay?
Yeah.
One low-digit kiloton assumption on the atmospheric transport modeling for the release of the...
In terms of the calculation that we did, the processing for the ATM, the projection, and the weather forecast, we assume that with a 1 kiloton release, okay, what would happen 2 days, 3 days, or 4 days later. But our assumption of 1 kiloton release, you shouldn't relate that we made a conversion from the magnitude to 1 kiloton release.
Okay.
What we try to do is to use the lowest, because if you can find the low, you can find the high. So by assuming that you take 1 kiloton explosion, what would happen in 1, 2, 3, 4 days? And that's what we do. But there's no linear relation with the magnitude that we saw and our assumption in terms of the forecast of the radionuclide release.
Further questions?
It's okay. For looking at this, is this actually the one in Chiba or the one in Okinawa, which is likely to detect?
Okinawa.
Okinawa. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you so much, then. As soon as we will have further information, our intention is to come back to you. And whatever we have and whatever is available, then we will share. Thank you so much.